So, for example, if I'm sitting and somebody brought up an itch, so if I'm sitting, this kind of thought train might arise. So I start by noting itching, itching, itching. Boy, this is really annoying. Why do I have to not scratch this thing? This is a really stupid practice. Itching, itching, itching. I should just reach up and scratch. Itching, itching, itching. What could be itching? Why would this be itching so much? Maybe I got a mosquito bite. Where could I have possibly gotten this mosquito bite? I wonder where I was. And what if it had West Nile? Oh my gosh. I'd better make sure I make an appointment with the doctor when I get home. Or maybe I should get up now and go home. So, you know, the mind launches off of a sensation into a whole world. And it can go from an itch to West Nile in a very short time. So, in meditation, we try to ground our attention in something that's concrete, something other than our thoughts and stories. The physical sensations of the body are always in the present moment. So bringing our attention into the physical body helps us to see reality as it is. Most of the time, we don't actually see things as they really are. We see things through the filter of our opinions and reactions. So the training in mindfulness is to bring ourselves back to the physical experience, the reality of the present moment in the physical body over and over and over again. And to let go of thoughts, to let go of reactions, to let go of feeling that it shouldn't be like this, or it should be like this. This is what it is. So it can be hard at first to trust actually putting our attention in the sensations of the body. We've been trained through our whole lives that the way to live our lives is through our thoughts. And that's where we put our trust, is in our thoughts. So it can be counterintuitive to bring our attention into our body and experience it. It's going against the grain of habit. But it's very powerful to put aside the preference, if you can, during your meditation, put aside the preference to follow your thoughts and just come back to the sensations of the body. I'm not saying not to think ever. We need our thoughts. We need to plan what we're going to be doing. It's part of our lives as human beings to think. But as a training for now in this process, see if you can let go of your thinking in your meditation time and just come back to the sensations of the body over and over and over again. One technique that's helpful in doing this is called noting. And I pointed to this in the guided meditation when I suggested that you gently label or name your sensations of breathing as in or out or rising, falling. The label is just a very quiet, it's like a whisper in the mind. The majority of your attention should be on whatever the experience is that you're, whatever experience is present. But just a gentle whisper of a note in the mind. You can note any sensation, vibration, tingling, pressure, burning, searing, heat, coolness, lightness. Any of those, it can be really helpful to stay present for the sensation if the thinking mind is engaged with a rudimentary form of thought. So to just think vibration, vibration, very quietly while you're feeling the vibration. So the part of the mind that notes like that is very, very close to the part of the mind that knows what's happening while it's happening. And that's one of the reasons to try this noting technique. It encourages you to know that you're breathing in while you're breathing in. Know that you're feeling vibration while you're feeling vibration. There are also some other advantages to the noting, and one of them is that it can be kind of a litmus test as to how present you actually are. The mind is very tricky, and it It can fool us into thinking we're present when we're kind of spacing out and wandering away. We're kind of with the breath, but we're really in this pleasant dream of being on the beach somewhere. So the noting, you may notice at some point that you're no longer noting. So you think you're with the breath, but you're no longer noting rising, falling, or in, out. So that's a key. Oh, well, I'm not actually so present with my experience. Or you might find that you're noting one thing and feeling another, like you've been pulled away to an experience of a pain in your knee, and yet you're still noting in, out, kind of with a gritting attention on the knee. So it can be a check for us to see how present we are. Another thing that can help us to key into is any kind of reactivity that's in the mind. There might be a tone of voice to the note, like itching, 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 a kind of a frustrated, gritting feeling to the note itself. And that's a clue that there's some reactivity going on. So it can help us to key in to when we're really just paying attention to the sensation and when we're actually reacting to it. So we can maintain a steady stream of noting every second or two. Vibration, tingling, pressure, heat, itching, vibration, rising, falling. Very, very quiet. The noting practice it can feel awkward at first. It's kind of like riding a bicycle. It's a definite technique to the meditation, and it can feel awkward that when you first get on a bicycle, you need the training wheels, and you're kind of wobbling all over. The noting practice is kind of like that. That it feels really artificial and added on and heavy and uncomfortable a lot of the times initially, but it's a very powerful practice, and I'd encourage you to try it for a while and see what happens. You don't have to try it all the time, but just see what happens if you start to note your experience. One of the most common questions that people ask, or experiences that people have when starting to pay attention to bodily sensations, is around pain. So pain is definitely something that comes in the meditation. The stillness itself seems to show it in the body. So so as we're sitting there paying attention to our breath, we'll find our knees hurt, our backs hurt. And the basic attention in mindfulness practice is the same as with any physical sensation. Just bring a simple, open attention to the pain. It's possible in that simple open attention, you might feel strong sensations like searing, stabbing, burning, twisting. There might be very, very strong sensations, but it's possible in the paying attention to the pain to open a little space around the pain, and we find that there can be a relaxation around the pain. So it can be counterintuitive to bring attention to pain. You know, we are a kind of a fix-it culture, and our first instinct when we feel pain is to fix it. But bringing mindfulness can actually be a very healing form of attention to pain. So you can experiment with it and see what happens if you just bring attention to a painful sensation as opposed to moving immediately. Just see what happens. One of the things that you really begin to notice as you do that is, well, most of us have a lot of reactivity to pain. There's a strong sense of wanting to move or wanting to change things, a sense of aversion, of hatred for the pain. And one thing that we begin to see as we pay attention is that the reactivity to pain and the physical sensations of pain are two different things. And that actually the reactivity to pain kind of can serve as a feedback mechanism to make the pain worse. So if we're paying attention to a tightness in our shoulder, and we have a reaction to it, the reactivity can actually serve to tighten it more, and then the pain gets worse. Or we react with very strong emotional reactions, and those emotional reactions are unpleasant, a feeling of hatred or dislike or aversion or just not wanting this to be here, that shouldn't be like this, or a strong feeling of judgment. And we find that the unpleasantness of that emotional reaction gets conflated and mixed up with the actual physical pain. And we actually think the pain is worse than it is because of this emotional reaction. So as we start to pay attention, we can begin to tease apart the reactivity from the physical sensations themselves and begin to see just how much actually of what we call physical pain is in the reactivity to it and not so much in the pain, in the physical sensation itself. It's really quite remarkable to see that. So we start to see that the sensations of pain and the story around pain are different. And as we start to see the pain itself and the reactivity, then there's a gap. We'll notice at some point that there's a gap between the pain and the reactivity. And in that gap, that's where freedom is really found. That's where it's possible to find. But when we do pay attention to pain, we can sometimes find that what the pain is telling us is that we need to move. And this is perfectly fine to do in our meditation practice. If we experience physical pain and we are with it for a minute or two and we just realize, you know, this is not good, I really need to move, then go ahead and move. It's important to pay attention to the needs of our body. And over time, I think you'll all start to see that the body can stay still in comfort for longer and longer periods. So do try to play with that edge just a little bit so that you stay with, if you're in a situation where you feel like you need to move, stay with it for just a moment or two, maybe a minute, and then let yourself move. And as I said in the when we were talking about the itching, if you're going to move, do it mindfully. Move slowly, move carefully. Notice the thoughts you're having first about moving. So notice the thinking process that's preceding the moving. And then see if you can notice in the instant before you move that you're going to move, that there's a little intention to move before the movement actually happens. And we'll talk more about this intention in a couple of weeks. But it's a really, really crucial area that we can pay attention to in our lives, is this intention. So if you do need to move, take the opportunity to see if you can notice that movement, that moment right before you're going to move. It's like this little moment where you know you're going to move, but you haven't moved yet. That kind of about to moment. So see if you can notice that before you move. And then when you move, move slowly, move carefully. See if you can note the movement that you're making. And then go back into the stillness and return to the sensation of breathing or whatever sensation you're paying attention to. So it's fine to move in the meditation, but please do it mindfully. It's also possible that a particular pain may arise in the body that no amount of movement seems to take care of. It seems to be some chronic pain can be this way. And for myself, I've found there are times when certain pains get strong enough that the mind just rebounds off of the pain. It just cannot stay present. It's almost like a push-pull relationship. The mind is pulled into the pain because it's so strong, and then it immediately says no and rebels away from it. So it's a kind of a very reactive relationship to the pain at times. And when that's happening, when you find that you just cannot stay present for the sensation, and there's nothing that you can actually do to release it in any way, then it's helpful to take your attention away from the sensation of pain. So if you're feeling the sensation of pain in your chest, for example. At one point I was feeling like I had a vice grip around my rib cage. And paying attention to the sensations of breathing here in the abdomen was so close to the vice grip feeling that it was hard to even pay attention to the breathing. So in that situation, I tend to take my attention away from the area where the physical pain is into my hands. Hands are a really good one. Put the attention in your hands, in your butt, or into sounds. And we'll talk more about sounds in a few minutes. So sounds are great when you're having physical pain that you can't do anything about. It's a really great way, a spacious way to stay present and let go of the as much as possible of the bodily pain. So being embodied in our experience means not only opening up to, it means opening up to the full range of our experience, the difficult, painful sensations and the beautiful, wonderful, pleasant sensations that come. And in the meditation, especially as concentration starts to deepen, there are wonderful, pleasant sensations that flow through the body. The whole body can feel warm and large and full. Sometimes it might feel light, like you're floating. Very, very pleasant, wonderful sensations can happen in the meditation. And the instructions with those is the same as with anything. Bring your attention to them. Notice what happens to them as you pay attention to them. The body is a container for our emotional life. And what we'll find is that there's a large store of knowledge, actually, in the body. When we start to pay attention to what's happening in the body, it's like a doorway into our emotional life. We can begin to see a lot more. It's almost like it's that the body reveals some things that are not in our conscious mind sometimes. It's like, I think Freud said, the dreams are the royal road to the unconscious. Well, the body can also have that role. Paying attention to the body can be a road into what is not otherwise in our conscious awareness. So I'd like to open it up to questions or comments right now. Are there any comments or about what I've said or questions, anything? That's interesting. That, I find that true at times too. Did everyone hear what he said? Raise your hand if you couldn't hear him. Okay. So what he said was that what he finds when the mind is really scattered is that doing a body scan, kind of similar to what we do at the beginning of our meditation, the going through the body and just feeling what where the tension is and what the sensations are through the body, helps him to settle the mind. And it's more effective for him than just trying to pay attention to one thing, to come back over and over again to the breath, that the variety seems to engage the mind. And I find that true too at times, that when the mind is really full of thoughts, that if I just try to stay with the breath, it just keeps going away. And if I let myself pay attention to a variety of sensations in the body, that the mind actually settles more quickly. So you could try that sometimes, is kind of if you find that body scan is helpful to do that at times. Yeah.
One thing that I have found informative in terms of my ability to stay focused on one thing is counting my breath when I'm focusing on the breath, counting up to 10 and then backwards. When I think that I'm focusing on my breath, I'll do that and all of a sudden find myself at 37, which means that I'm on autopilot and my mind is over here and I've set myself this little task to do with my, this little piece of my mind. I'm not really focused, but it looks to me like I am.
Yes, that's a really good litmus test. The counting practice. And some of you may be interested in trying that too. What he suggested is a very common way to count from 1 to 10 and then back from 10 to 1. And there are also a variety of ways that it can be integrated into the practice. Often it's more of a concentration practice to use the counting. It really is just, you know, okay, breath, 1, 2, 3. But there are several ways that you can do it, so I'll just review some of them briefly. So you could try counting on the in-breath. So just as the in-breath begins, count that. And then you may want to double count. So count 1 on in and 1 on out, 2 on in and 2 on out. Some people find that helpful. One thing that I found particularly helpful in terms of integrating the counting with a mindfulness practice, one of my teachers at IMS taught me this practice, is that you count just backwards from 10 to 1, and you count at the end of the full cycle, rising and falling, or in and out. And you pay mindful attention to the full cycle of breathing. And if you were present for that process, you get to do the count. So you kind of have to keep track of, were you paying attention to the cycle? Actually, the teacher that taught this to me, Guy Armstrong, said that he allowed himself to do the count if he was present for any part of the in or the out breath. So, you know, he said, you know, we Westerners, we're wimpy, you know, but I think it's helpful, you know, to know, you know, yes, I was present for the beginning of that in-breath, and then the mind wandered for a second and a half, and now I'm back, you know, so it can be helpful to recognize that. You don't have to be fully aware through the entire cycle in order to do the count. So that's another way, and that's a really good way to integrate the two practices, the concentration and the mindfulness together. Yeah?
When are you supposed to practice concentration and when mindfulness?
Well, it's all really personal, you know, how it unfolds for you. But what I'd suggest that you try, that seems to be helpful for a lot of people initially, is to start with a concentration practice when you sit down. First, sit down. So you start with the settling exercises, the settling in exercises, a couple of deep breaths, maybe a body scan, and then turn your attention to the breathing and use the noting practice, perhaps, to help you stay with the breathing and let go. Just keep letting go of anything, not the breathing, for the first 5 or 10 minutes of the sitting. And after a period of time, after the mind has settled, then you can let go of the concentration practice aspect of it and start just paying attention to what's happening. If other sensations arise that want your attention, turn your attention to those. So it's really helpful to start with the period of concentration and then open it up. But it's really there's no one answer. And it varies for everybody. Some people may find it's helpful to do a concentration practice, really focusing on the breathing, just coming back for a couple of weeks, and then open up to wider sensations. But since we're doing this class right now, I would encourage you to go ahead and open up as we open up in this class to the variety of sensations. Next week we'll talk about emotions, the following week thoughts. So go ahead and let yourself follow this. But meditation practice is really a big playground. Just experiment and see what happens. It's really, you know, about observing what happens. So when you do something, if you find it's helpful, you can do it again. If you do something and you find it increases distraction, you might not want to try that. So it really is about experimentation and seeing what the results of the experimentation are. Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep labeling all these things. And kind of what I'm hearing you say is that if you're trying to avoid the judging, the labeling per se. I mean, it's a different kind of labeling.
Right. Yeah. There's a key distinction between trying to understand something intellectually and just naming what experience is happening. So there will. I mean, when we talk about emotions next week, I will suggest that people actually note. Oh, resistance. That's what's happening right now. Is resistance. You know, what does resistance feel like? So we will bring our attention to those things over time. But there's a big difference between feeling a sensation and then thinking, well, what's happening now? Am I resisting this or am I tightening around it? You know, if there's a series of thoughts that are going along to try to figure it out, we try to let go of that or notice those thoughts, as we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
It seems like everything I'm doing is just so descriptive of how I live my life. You know, like I want to hurry up through it or, you know, something like that. It's amazing how parallel.
It is. It's like the sitting is like this microcosm that reveals the whole of our life. It's truly amazing.
I've had some trouble with the whole labeling methodology because very often, my mind goes into analyzing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out what is it that's going on, and then very quickly I run off into a little fit of analysis, and so I've been somewhat reluctant to use the labeling method.
Yeah, that's a very common experience. That especially for us Westerners, we are so analytical. We want to figure out just the right word, but finding the exact word is not so important. It's just whatever obvious word comes to mind. And there's no, there can be a kind of a tendency to try to figure out what the experience is through the noting. But it can be a very simple note. I mean, you could just note sensation. I mean, sometimes it's not so clear exactly what the sensation is, especially initially. It's like we have to learn the language of our bodily sensations. What is that sensation anyway? Oh, it's tingling. Okay, that's tingling. But initially we may not have a name for it. And so sensation or experience is one of Gill's favorites. That, you know, just I'm having an experience right now. So there's no need to come up with a perfect label.
So is the point then not to correctly observe what is going on, or to, in the sense of labeling it correctly, is it more to identify the fact that you're not doing what you intended to, which is focus on the breath? So it's almost like, well, I'm not watching my breath.
Well, with the mindfulness practice, you know, we allow ourselves to open up and let go of the breath. So, you know, we don't necessarily hold that intention to stay with the breath for the whole sitting. But it's meant to basically just make sure that the mind and the experience are together, that you know what's happening while it's happening. So the labeling just kind of serves to bring the mind in with the experience. There's something else I thought of to say. It's gone. The labeling it's definitely, it can be challenging. And, you know, if you find it is unhelpful let it go, but then maybe try it again another time. You know, you can. It's just like I just said to this man, that play with it. You know, don't actually, if you find something isn't helpful at one point, it may be helpful at another time. So you can try going back to it at another time, too. Yeah.
There are parts of me that I can have feelings in, but I don't know what those parts are, so there's no way I'm going to be able to label them.
Yes.
I'm not an anatomist, so.
Well, the idea isn't so much to label, like, stomach or liver. It's to label the kind of bare elemental sensations, like vibration or stabbing or burning or throbbing or pulsing. So it's you know, you can feel those kind of feelings in the whole, in the body, and not know where they're happening. You know, knowing where they're happening is not necessary, but just to recognize that you're having a sensation. And so it's also helpful, I mean, just the bare noticing physical sensation as opposed to sound sensation or smell or taste. So just touch. You could just use touch as your note. You know, it doesn't have to be any more refined than that. When we talk about listening, hearing meditation, we typically just note hearing. We don't try to analyze the sound so much. So that can be a way to work with the bodily sensations too. It's just sensation. What time is it? Well, let's go ahead and do a little bit on the sounds. So I talked a little bit about this earlier. So the awareness of the body, the bodily sensations include all five sense doors, the seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching. But when we're in meditation, typically we're sitting with our eyes closed, so the seeing is typically not so predominant. We're not often in places where there is a lot of smells, unless you're, you know, sitting next to your kitchen. We're not eating. So the sensations of sight, taste, and smell aren't as predominant in our meditation. But the sensations of touch and hearing are very obvious in our meditative practice. And so learning to practice with both realms is very, very helpful. So opening up our attention to sound can bring a lot of spaciousness to the practice. It really lets us feel kind of the whole world in our meditation. It brings the whole world into our meditation. And it also helps us to recognize that there really are not distractions in mindfulness meditation. Typically, a lot of people find sounds to be one of the hardest things to work with in meditation. And in concentration practice, that can be very true because we are trying to let go of everything but one object. But in mindfulness practice, the instruction is pay attention to what is obvious. What is the most obvious thing in my experience right now? If a motorcycle drives by, that's probably going to be it. Is the sound of the motorcycle. So bring your attention to the sound right in the ear door. What is it? What is the experience of hearing? And just simply note hearing, or be with the sound if the labeling doesn't work for you. Just what is the experience of hearing? Notice when it what happens to it as it pays as you pay attention to it. Sounds are really great for in terms of paying attention to how things arise and pass away. As the motorcycle drives by, there's a really clear increase in the sound and decrease in the sound, and you can be with that sound until it disappears. It's a very, very interesting place to observe impermanence in our experience. So I'd like to do a short guided meditation. We have a few minutes left, so we'll do just a few minutes on this. So go ahead and just take a reasonably comfortable, upright, alert posture and gently close your eyes. Now take a few deep breaths to help you relax around the alertness of your posture. So let the breathing return to normal. And for a minute or so, just bring your attention to your breathing. Settle yourself on the rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. Now let go of your breathing, the sensations of breathing, and let yourself become aware of sound. Sounds outside. The sound of my voice. Sounds in the room. Notice that you don't have to work to hear. The body does it for you. The sounds simply arise, and the body hears them. It's simple. See if you can let go of any thoughts that might arise around the sounds. Just let the sounds wash over you, the way you might let music wash over you. So for this week, I'd like to suggest a couple of exercises for you to try. Continue your daily practice, your daily sitting practice, and if you're so inspired, consider adding 5 minutes to the time that you've been sitting. And then the second exercise I'd like to suggest is to pick some activity that you do regularly throughout the day. So, for instance, getting up from your desk at work, or walking through a door, or paying it, or the telephone, if the telephone rings a lot for you, pick that as a little mindfulness cue or bell that you'll try to remember to just pay attention whenever that thing happens. So when the phone rings, one practice that I've done from Thich Nhat Hanh's suggestion is that when the phone rings, I let the bell ring 3 times, and it's kind of like a bell. It can be kind of like a bell. And just pay attention to my breathing while the phone rings 3 times. And then when I pick up the phone, I'm actually pretty present for the person on the other end. It's a really lovely practice to try. But just pick something that happens to you regularly through your day and try to bring attention to what's happening to you when that thing happens. So as you walk through a door, what's happening in your body? How is your breathing feeling? Just a very general, simple awareness of what's happening for you for a few moments, you know, 5 seconds, and then let it go. Likewise, when you stand up, if you've picked something like standing up from a chair at work, just notice what's happened to you. It's helpful to pick one thing, to pick a project essentially, and not try to say necessarily, okay, I'm going to try to do this for everything. It can just be a setup for failure if we try to be mindful of everything. So just pick something, and likely what will happen is that what you'll start experiencing is that you've walked through 5 doors and you haven't remembered to pay attention to walking through any of them. But you've remembered an hour later, oh, I forgot. That's the beginning of mindfulness, of that activity. And so that's actually a success. You don't need to beat yourself up at that point that, oh, I didn't do it. That's like, oh, I remembered that thing that I was going to do. So just let it go at that. And then the next time you walk through a door, you may find that you remember maybe only a few minutes after you've walked through the door. And it will get closer and closer and closer to the actual experience over time. It can take a while. Yeah, you have a question.
So are you suggesting being mindful of going through a door or being mindful of your experience?
Your experience.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What's happening in your body? Very simple. Just what's the obvious thing happening in your experience? I'm just using the door kind of as a mindfulness bell. Just, walking through a door. Okay, that was what I picked to help me remember. And this kind of practice helps us to pull our mindfulness throughout our day. And it's very powerful to start to do that. And as Scott, you mentioned that it really can bring a lot of joy into our lives to begin to wake up throughout the day. And the third thing I'd like to suggest you try is eating meditation. So pick a meal sometime this week and spend the first 5 minutes of that meal paying attention to what it's like to eat. Eating is one of those experiences where all of our senses are engaged. And in a Buddhist terminology, there are 6 senses, the 5 usual sense doors, seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching, plus the sense door of the mind, where thoughts, emotions, ideas happen. So in eating, all of our senses are engaged. We see our food. So that's, we see it, we smell it, we taste it when it gets onto our tongue. There's the tactile sensation of the food on the tongue. There's the hearing as we chew and swallow. There's the smelling of the food. And there are the thoughts that arise around the food. So it's a very rich place to bring our attention. Many, many things happen. So I'd like to just encourage you to give that a try. And then I was requested to mention Audio Dharma, which is a wonderful resource that's available on our website. And the website URL is on the back of our newsletter. So if you don't have the website URL, you can pick up one of the newsletters. And there's a whole range of talks that have been taped here over the years, some by some very wonderful teachers, and it's a great resource for hearing the Dharma. So I'd encourage you to check that out. And I have handouts again. I have a few from last week, if some of you didn't get them from last week. So these are the ones from last week. And then these are the ones from this week. And the exercises are in here. So hopefully that'll help you remember to try them. So thank you all for your attention and your participation. It's really wonderful to be here with you. Thank you.
To be more mindful of what I am receiving.
Good. It's nice to see you. Lifting, touching, and then scratching, and then lowering. Move slowly. It can be a very powerful way to keep the meditation continuous if you go ahead and do that as part of the meditation. It doesn't have to disrupt the meditation. You can actually bring the attention to the act of itching if you need to. Anything else?
When I took my attention from the breath and placed it on some areas of the body that are holding tension, not quite painful, but a little uncomfortable, I noticed that my breath became less smooth. And as I continued to focus on the areas of tension, there was a sense of unraveling where the tension just sort of dropped away. And as that happened, my breath became more even and softer and smoother. So I had the sense that when I move my attention to an area of tension, it became reflected in my breath.
Yes, that's true. Did everyone hear what she said? Could everyone raise your hand if you couldn't hear her? Okay. So she said that when she moved her attention from the breath to a sensation in the body, she moved it to a place that was uncomfortable and tense, not exactly painful, but tense. And when she did that, there was a roughness that began in the breathing, that there was an unevenness to the breathing. And then as she paid attention to the tension, that it began to unravel and let go. And as that happened, that the breathing became smoother again and more relaxed. And that's very, very true. That's a huge connection between the breath and what we're attending to. There may have been a little reactivity initially in paying attention to the tension. You know, that the tension can sometimes be hard to bring our attention to. And that tension that we're bringing our attention to kind of gets reflected through the whole body. So the breath also reacts to that. So it happens a lot. We notice with emotions, with paying attention to physical sensations, that the breath will change as we pay attention to other things. So thank you. That was a really beautiful description. Yeah.
I noticed a tension in my upper back and also tightness around the chest, and as I kept paying attention, it went away. Obviously, there's a lot.
That's great. Did anyone? How many of you had that experience where what you paid attention to got less, became weaker as you paid attention to it?
Yeah.
Okay. How many of you had the opposite experience where it got stronger when you started paying attention to it? Did it? Yeah. Okay. Anybody, you willing to talk about it? What did you experience?
Yeah, I still can't find a comfortable cushion, so I almost just accepted that. And then when you said concentrate on something that hurts or whatever, like, yeah, it felt impossible to deal with it. I just wanted to move.
Yeah, it can get that way. And who back here also had that experience? Somebody back here had the experience where it got stronger? Yeah, what was your experience?
Well, when I start there, I go, boy, my shoulders hurt. I was thinking, I wish you offered a massage. And then I said, that's wrong, so I just tried to concentrate harder. It intensified before it started going away.
But it did eventually
yeah. Really,
yeah, it can do that. I mean, as I heard this, I heard Jack Kornfield say it, that three things can happen to a sensation. It will either get stronger, or it will get weaker, or it will stay the same. So those are the options. And that neither one is right or wrong. Sometimes when you pay attention to something, it will get weaker and diminish and disappear, and you'll be left with these lovely, light, floating feelings. And other times, it just gets stronger. Sometimes if you're paying attention to something pleasant, it gets stronger too. So there's not a particular right or wrong. It's really just noticing what happens for you as you're observing it. And sometimes it'll be one way, sometimes it'll be another, and sometimes you'll pay attention to something and it'll just seem like it's the same for a long time. Anything else? Any other comments? Okay, so a central part of mindfulness practice is learning to be embodied, to actually feel the body, to understand and become familiar with the sensations of the body. And as we practice mindfulness meditation, the mind and the body begin to settle themselves together at the same place, at the same time. Most of us live in our thoughts and ideas. We live in our past, remembering what people said, what we said, what we could have said, what we should have said. Or we're projecting into the future, thinking about what we're going to do, what vacation we're going to take, where we have to go tomorrow, or who we have to speak to. Or if we're actually in the present moment, we're often just thinking about what we're experiencing as opposed to really experiencing it. So there's almost always this constant stream of thoughts going on. In some retreats, I've seen myself just describing what's happening to me. It's like, who am I talking to? You know, oh, I'm reaching to grab my glass now. You know, so the mind, we live through our thoughts. Actually, you know, we don't believe it's real until we've thought a thought about it. And until I started mindfulness practice, I had no question. It was no question to me that this is the way life was lived, that we lived through our thoughts. And it was a revelation to me to begin to experience in the body the sensations of the body themselves, unfiltered by concepts and thoughts. So the idea in mindfulness is to wake up to all aspects of our lives instead of living in a virtual world of our thoughts. We'll also learn over the course of this class to actually bring a